2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is your chance to get college football insights straight from the source.
Go line, let's go!
This is the Players Club as we talk football with some of the biggest stars in the state. Now joining unrivaled from the University of Utah, Devin Kaufusi. The Players Club is presented by Zions Bank.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is another edition of the Players Club right here. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by Zions Bank. Appreciate their partnership, love how much love they give these players, too, every year. Zions Bank, big city banking, home team feel that you can count on. Devin Kaufusi, another week with Devin and DK. You had a big game on Saturday. Saw big number 90 in there a lot. Good to see number 90 and number 91 next to each other in that football game. That must be fun next to Gabe Reed, huh?
Yes. Well, it's funny. So Gabe, our first game, home game at SCU, Gabe's never lost at Rice Eccles since high school. So ever since he started playing.
That's pretty good.
And, we like that Sonny, good luck charm right there.
Me and Britt and him always talk about, like, oh, that's how we got to keep it. But, yeah, he's even at Stanford, he's like, I haven't lost at Rice Eccles yet, man. And so – so it was fun. It felt like high school hearing our names again up there and seeing each other. So
you guys have gone through your non-conference schedule. You had the tough game the first week, and then you had a relatively easy game and thought this one was going to be a little bit more challenging. Where do you think the defense is? Where do you think this whole football team is after all of your non-conference going into conference play?
Really, I think we all just took a step forward, building off this U week, which is what we wanted to do. Defensively, we just got our technique tightened up and everything. Really trying to build momentum into conference play because I think that's important. You know, as the season goes on, you really start to feel the flow and the energy of the team and the mindset, and you really start to see the belief in the unit as a whole. So offensively, you know, they're gonna keep doing their thing. You know, they're on point. Defensively as well, you know, I really felt like our identity showed up a lot more in this game.
What is the identity of the defense now? I mean, when you guys kind of start to establish yourselves, and I think we were talking about this, like you guys had to totally reset after the Florida game and get after yourselves, have your coaches get after you. So what is the identity? I mean, what is it that you guys talk about that you always harp on that you feel like you've probably gotten a little bit closer to now?
Oh, yeah. In our defensive unit room, you know, Coach Scally has the letters RS and B, and, you know, any Utah player that's come through the building will see those letters everywhere, and it stands for relentless, smart, nasty ball hawks, and that's our culture, you know, and that's the standard the coaches have picked out for us, you know, and so the San Diego State game, you know, relentless, you know, we saw some big relentless plays, you know, off the top of my head, I think of, you know, Aliki, our teammate early on, he's running downfield, chasing quarterbacks, laid a big hit, you know, had some smart plays, we were able to get him to jump off sides a couple times, show some nasty defense. Everyone's swarming the ball, which makes the coaches happy. We saw that on film today. And, you know, we had some ball hawks out there. Rene with an awesome pick. Just read it like a book and was right there. And so just really had, you know, our culture show up in plays in the game. And, you know, that's just something we've been wanting to be consistently at.
One of the things that stood out to me was the defensive line getting pressure on the San Diego State quarterbacks, because there's three of them in the game before it was over. What was happening with you guys? And it wasn't linebackers, it wasn't blitz. It was the up four guys getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback when they were throwing the football.
Yeah, we just knew, you know, San Diego State's committed to the run, you know, and they got really good running backs and stuff. And so we felt that, you know, we handled the run just like our game plan into any game, you know, handle the run and get them to pass. And so, you know, once we're able to get them to start throwing, we can really just tee off on them. And so seeing Mickey and Ben get after it on the edges and stuff, and us guys on the inside, you know, working pressure from working pressure to collapse the pocket was really good. And yeah, I mean, they handled the quarterback. So, I mean, we all were all over him.
You were there a year ago in Carson when you guys played San Diego State down in Los Angeles. What was different this year? Because they're a well-coached team. They're a good team.
Brady Hoke comes with good scheme, everything.
So what was different between last year and this year?
On the defensive side, we felt like we stopped the run well last year, too. It's just, you know, a couple quarterback runs from last year's game. If you go back and look, that's some quarterbacks running and gashing us. So defensively, we just kind of looked at the game plan and just really focused in on our owning our technique, especially up front as a defensive line. You know, you saw us kind of go into a five-man front up there a couple times,
right,
which was wanting to be the game plan and stuff. But, you know, we felt like we're handling it well out of just our four-man front with a team that runs the ball so much. So really the message from Coach Witt and Coach Scally was, and even Coach Ellis was talking about, was, you know, you can always think of a scheme of this and that and whatnot, but really what comes down to it, you know, Division I football, you know, they got athletes that they recruit. We got athletes that we recruit. It comes down to just that that desire and the execution of how physical you are. And so, we definitely had a chip on our shoulder. We had some stuff, you know, we had some crap in our neck. You know, just really want to get back at these guys.
Hold on. That. What is that? What does a crap on our neck mean? I mean, I've heard a lot of sports analogies.
This sounds like one of my mixed metaphors.
This sounds like one of Scott's like classic. Like,
wait, I need to write this down.
Hold on. You got some poop on your neck, kid. Like, where does that come? Where does this come from?
Yeah, we all say, you know, like, it's just another way of, you know, a chip on your shoulder. You know, you got some crap in your neck. Just, you know, like, you ever sleep on your neck wrong? You wake up in a bad attitude because your neck is aching. It's a little tight. You know, you got a little it's a chip on the shoulder.
Is it cramp in the neck, or is it crap on the neck?
you got some crap in your neck. You walk around like you got some crap in your neck, like. Like, you're uncomfortable, you're angry, you're irritated.
That would be irritating.
I would be extremely irritated. I'd be extremely irritated, Devin, if I went to bed, I woke up, and I had crap on my neck. I would be way irritated.
Yeah, in the sense of, you know, just like, hey, it's just like, nothing more irritating when you got the neck pain.
No, so, nothing more irritating
No,
man,
listen. What is it? It's like, what do you have on your neck there a little bit? It's a little crap on the old neck there. Yeah.
That's a guy. Yeah, I got some crap on my neck, and I got to fix it. Yeah. You know?
All right. get some treatment for that. Hey, yeah. So, Devin, I'm you know, as we watch this thing happen, I'm convinced, and I think every game is going to feel like this from now on. I think the identity of this team, because every year you look for identity, you think about what the identity of the team was last year. It was pretty obvious, right? And what the motivation was, pretty obvious. And that'll always be, I think, an underlying thing for this team, and always have that special connection to those two players. It's big. But I think identity-wise for this year, I can't imagine that it's going to be anything. I mean, one of the main storylines is going to be, after that Florida loss, .. We had to take care of business the rest of the way out. And I feel like every game now, everybody goes in and goes, that is not going to happen to us this game. Is that the estimation you think is going to kind of happen like the rest of the year? It's, hey, we're sort of playing from behind when it comes from a national standpoint, where it's like, look, if we want to get some recognition, and even though you guys are 13th in the polls, you're 2-1 on the season, and you have all sorts of green in front of you, but it feels like that there's still this this playing catch up a little bit, and that's probably a good thing for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. Just, you know, there's something to prove each week. You know, we're going down to ASU. You know, we're stepping on the field, and, you know, the underlining as a defense is, hey, like, you made guys pay for stepping on the field with you, you know. And it's been showing up in our week of practice. We had an awesome week of practice last week. And, you know, hopefully, you know, and that's what we strive to do each week, was, you know, have a game like we had this past weekend.
A year ago, Devin Lloyd was the leader of the defense. As you watch this defense develop and each week get better and better, and some new faces, who is the leader of the defense?
I feel like our defense as a whole, yeah, you know, is having Devin back there, and you know, he was really the standout and everything. You know what? I feel like everyone defensively, no crazy stuff. I feel like I can't think of one person. You know, I think of a defense line up front. You know, we got Junior in there building off a great freshman year. We got Van as well. You know, we got Corinne as well coming off a great year. You know, Lander's coming in and contributing. Mahmood has been an awesome addition to our defense this year. And it'll be great to see him come back. You know, of course, we have Mr. Clark Phillips. He's the man. You know, even JT Braun's, you know, I think he's the most underrated player on our defense. You know, he's just always doing his job to such a high degree. And then our safeties back there, you know, we have RJ. RJ's back. RJ Hubert's back making plays, you know, showing up in the run game, which is awesome. And, you know, Cole Bishop as well. And so I think of one name. We think of leaders and everything. I think all of us are just taking it on as, you know, we want to be that nasty defense that Utah has, and it takes all of us.
Yeah, that's what I kind of felt, you know, because I was like, okay, it seems because you guys did not look good the first game, right? It was just yeah. So and the next week, boy, it just was like so different. And even this week was different from last. Like, it was better, you know. I know that internally, like, you guys have to talk to each other, and you have to. And I was just curious, like, who was talking, but it just felt like everyone got the message, or everyone was sharing the message, or everyone was on the same page with things. And I guess for me, that's kind of exciting, you know, because when you have it at all three levels where guys are holding each other accountable, and guys are holding to a standard, and guys are willing to, you know, put in the work and show up on game day, that should get really exciting for you guys, I would think.
Yeah, no, it really does. And I really just appreciate our coaches, you know, me being the older guy and my fifth year in the program. So it's just really seeing our coaches, you know, have that high expectation for us, but also, you know, show with a lot of love, even some tough love, you know, and every position group just, you know, coming together and just figuring out together. So it's definitely encouraging, definitely exciting. And I think that's how we took it, you know, after the Florida loss was, hey, let's, you know, instead of getting, you know, frustrated, let's just focus. And I think that's what we've taken to heart.
Did you get some tough love?
Oh yeah. I got some tough love for sure.
You get a little crap on your neck?
Oh yeah. You know, in the sense of, I don't want to think back to the week after, you know, after that Florida game. So
I remember you sent it. Yeah. We were going to record that day, and it was like, hey, they changed our schedule up a little bit. Was it just your schedule changed up a little bit? Like, was it like a Saturday school type situation? It was almost like being in detention or something. Or I guess everybody takes it in the chin when a game like that happens, though, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, but hey, it's you know, looking back at it now, and you know, that's why you always want, you know, losses or you know, when you know, you face hardships in life, you always want to look back and say, hey, you know, we're able to turn. You know, that was a turning point for us, and we were able to turn it around. Kind of like we mentioned, you know, dot, dot, dot. Let's keep writing our story.
Devin Cafusi, of course, every week right here on the Players Club on Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by Zions Bank. And we're watching the video right now here in the studio, but Herm Edwards walked off of the field in the loss to Eastern Michigan in Tempe last weekend. Start the season off 1-2. He's now dismissed as the head coach. He gets fired. The video we're watching is that he's walking off the field, and the athletic director and the president of the university called him over in the end zone, and they have a little chat. Now, no one knows what was exactly said. I don't think anybody really thinks that he was fired there, or at least maybe there was a hey, expect a Zoom meeting invite for tomorrow morning, because the next day he was let go. You guys start to watch film on a team, but it seems a little irrelevant, you know, you can watch the guys and the personnel, but they're going to have an interim head coach next week. You guys are going down. This program is now officially in shambles if it wasn't before. How do you approach a game like that where there's a bunch of off-the-field stuff this other team is dealing with, and you guys are going in there, and they're going to have to face maybe the toughest team in the Pac-12 week one with a new interim head coach?
As much as, you know, as tough as it is in their position and everything, we always talk about, you know, football is unforgiving and people just don't care. You know, people don't care if you're hurt or, you know, talk about last year, you know, guys getting hurt. They don't care about that. They don't care or know, and they choose not to care. And, you know, in the game of football, the only thing that matters is, you know, wins and is just winning, really. Just getting that win in the win column. And so, I can't say anything for ASU and what they're facing this week and stuff, but all I know is, you know, we're approaching this week knowing it's conference play, it's ASU, you know, there's some, you know, coming into Utah, you know, all I've heard is, just, you know, the bad blood between ASU and Utah. And so we're on the road, so we're looking to go down and, you know, make a statement down there with the momentum of this preseason. So, yeah, I mean, tough situation, you know, especially even I think of like being around, you know, being a coach's son growing up and seeing coaches go through stuff and, you know, players and being a player and stuff, or, you know, a brother to the players and everything that happens. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a crazy sport. It's a crazy life song, you know? So, but hey, all I know is Saturday comes around Saturday night in Tempe, you know, we'll be there. We'll be ready.
That's the unforgiving part. That's where Utah shows up and goes, don't care what you're going through. We have a situation to get through ourselves here. So
that's a statement.
Exactly.
Football is unforgiving. It's so true. It really is.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm curious because you talked about the bad blood between ASU and Utah, and the games have been chippy. You know, the last two games have been real chippy. And I mean, even Herms, you know, said after the game, hey, we just don't do those kinds of things. But they did them. You know, you guys are on the road. How do you prepare for a game that, look, you have to prepare for their best. You just have to do that. It'd be foolish not to. But how do you prepare differently or for a game that is on the road?
Not too crazy. I mean, I think, you know, conference play is nice because, you know, on the road, it's not as big as a travel, you know, as to say the Florida game where we head out a day early because of the time changes and everything. Like I mentioned, you know, Coach talked about earlier, you know, championship teams win on the road. And so just having that mindset of, you know, hey, we're going to enemy territory. You know, let that kind of fuel your practice and your prep and stuff. And, we're going down to see a Southern Region Conference rival, so to say. And so, yeah, just dial in. I really think you just dial in. And Coach Witt always talks about, you know, every week it should just be rinse and repeat. You know, that same feeling of, you know, dialed in and just trusting the process. That was brought up this past week, too, after a great prep week was, you know, every day is set up for a reason. You know, you trust the process throughout the whole week that, you know, by game day, you know, we're at our peak performance.
You know, I you mentioned the South opponent. There's no more North and South in conference play, right? So how does that change anything for you guys, or is it just kind of the same? Because I guess you'd have to kind of pay attention to everyone in the conference as you go through the conference. I mean, because it's the goal is to win the conference, right? And
Oh yeah, for sure. And so, you know, we talked about that last year was, you know, asking each other, you know, Coach Kelly made a point, you know, what game was a big game for us, and everyone could argue this and that, but, you know, inside college football, especially inside the conference, you know, every week's a big game, you know, every week of affects your standings and everything. You know, it all plays into the big picture. And so, and the best thing to do is, you know, just flat out win. Just winning solves everything, like we always talk about.
We were looking at the schedule, too, and I was thinking about how this conference play, you guys go to Arizona State, and then you come back and you host Oregon State, a team that you guys lost to last year, of course, and then UCLA, you go down to the Rose Bowl. And then that USC game looms, and SC looks really sharp. For as much as we, I think, probably tried to tell ourselves, nah, they're not going to be that good that quick, it's sort of proven otherwise. We look around the conference, the Pac-12 had a heck of a weekend, to be to be real, it was a really good weekend overall for the conference, minus Herm Edwards and Arizona State. So when you see that everybody's performing, everybody's kind of playing there, you look at these games, every one of these teams you face in the next the next four games, Arizona State, Oregon State, UCLA, and USC, they all have their own challenges there. But that's kind of a brutal, go that you have. And it doesn't let up either, because Washington State at Wazoo is going to be a tough game too after USC. So the Pac-12 is looking a lot better this year. And that means you guys are going to have to run through even more difficult opponents in the next few weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the reason why, people complained in the Pac-12 was, growing up, my dad always said, Ed, any weekend, anyone can get it. And you see that in college football, week in and week out. And so, props to them, as the reigning champs right now, we just know and expect that, hey, we're gonna get the best shot out of everyone in our conference. So we got to do all we can to stay on the throne and to protect, and to bring back another championship. So definitely got some good week ahead of us, good weeks ahead of us. But, yeah, just rinse and repeat one week at a time. Coach Witt, our saying as a team, is 1-0 each week. Just each week, just go 1-0.
What do you know about ASU?
Similar to last year, they got some new transfers. I think they'll be a bit quicker than San Diego State, only just from what I've watched as a defensive lineman on the film on the mark was, I think we're going to get similar stuff that San Diego State did. They got some athletes for sure. And so just everyone, doing their 1-11th and beating their one-on-ones is going to be a big factor.
Devin Kafusi, we love having you on the show every week here and breaking things down. After a game, what's the thing that you enjoy the most after a win? What's the thing that you look forward to and you go, that's awesome? Is it the meal afterward? Is it the Sunday where you can put your feet up? Or what does that look like after you win a game and like that in such a dominating fashion, and you guys know that you had such a good performance on defense? What does a Saturday like that look like, or the weekend look like after a game like that?
Oh, man, I got a smile on my face all day. I got a smile, and you know what I love, feeling like the old mother goose on the team is just, I love seeing all the smiles too on the team, and seeing all the young guys and everyone on the whole team, no matter their role, or really just everyone in the building, no matter what they do, just everyone's happy from winning. Just seeing everything pay off is so satisfying. And it's what, really, I think one thing is just seeing that fight song in the locker room after a win is awesome. And from there, the smile doesn't come off from there. So Sunday's a little beat up. Everyone goes into treatment and stuff. Everyone's, walking around a little slower, a little tired and stuff. But everyone's satisfied. And, that's why everyone plays a sport. You leave it out on the field and stuff, and you reap what you sow.
Who's the oldest guy on the team now?
So Jordan Noyes, our kicker, is actually older than me. He gets let off a bit, being a international student and everything. So it's definitely me. And I remember Gabe, when Gabe transferred, everyone was giving a hard time for how old he is. And he just kept saying, oh, Dev's a couple of weeks older than me. So,
see, that's so, good, too. You can't call yourself the old mother goose of the team. We got to come up with something better than
Father
that.
Time.
Father Time,
That's from now on. You shall be known henceforth, Devin, as Father Time. I'm sorry. It's just going to be the way it is. We might change all the imaging of the show. We might change it all to joining us on the Players Club. Father Time from the University of Utah. I don't know, in terms of people who've played as long, in terms of journeys, there are very few people who've had this wild of a journey as you've had in college football, so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so it's I feel definitely aged after the journey I've been through. So,
All right, Devin, we hope you keep it rolling here. Good luck. Have fun down in Tempe, because it should be a fun one. I mean, my heavens, when another program's trying to pick up the pieces and you guys roll in there, it's a good time to be able to get them, and it is. Kyle Whittingham is unforgiving too, by the way. It's not just football, so it'll be fun to watch this weekend. Dev, have a good one, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
There you go, Devin Kaufusi. More to go on the Players Club. Stay right here with us. Unravel continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.